It's Pentecost Sunday, and I believe God has something special for all of you, and we'll talk more about that in a moment. I want to give you a little bit of update. Today we're doing something a little bit different. We've been in a series on Thrive. Who's enjoyed Thrive? Hasn't it been great? But today I really felt because of Pentecost Sunday, we're going to pivot and do a sermon all about the Holy Spirit and Pentecost Sunday. Sound good? So it's going to be powerful. But I do have to say, the grass is greener and it's growing. Come on, somebody. Just like our church, we are thriving. Amen? And I do want to give you an update. Speaking of thriving and our church, and maybe you're new with us, welcome. We're so glad that you're here. The reason we're meeting in the gym is because we had a pipe burst in the first week of January. So we've been in the gym since then. And aren't you thankful that we can meet in a gym? We're so grateful. And what God's doing here is absolutely amazing. By the way, the first service is going well also. So it's pretty cool that we went from one service to two services. We're growing. God's moving his kingdom. We had baptisms. Who got to see some baptisms this morning? Wasn't that great? God is just doing great things. With all of that, so with the remodel that's going to be taking place, rebuilding what happened, we want to do things right. Anybody else enjoy doing things the right way? We don't want to cut corners. We don't want to rush it. And so when we're looking at the timetable of when it will be in back in the sanctuary, we've decided to postpone the 100-year celebration to 2025 so that we have plenty of time to have a grand opening and celebrate the way we're supposed to celebrate. Anybody think that's a good idea? So, yes, come on. We're going to celebrate right. So we're going to talk about what that's going to look like in the next few months, and we're just believing that we're going to have things better than ever in the sanctuary, and it's going to be a great time. So thank you for your patience with us, the process. We're moving along. We're waiting for the insurance to still at least give us a number, but you know what? We know that our God will provide. We're not discouraged. We're encouraged in the Lord. And so we're going to see great things happen because of him. Today is Pentecost Sunday. And the reason I really want to spend time on this is I think a lot of people just don't really know what Pentecost really means, what it's about. And so today I really want to give you some understanding of what it means and why it's important to you. Because I think whether you grew up in church or maybe you're here, you just have no idea what does Pentecost mean. I'll give you the really quick definition. It means literally 50. Penta means 50. And 50, the reason that's important is after Jesus' resurrection, there was, after Passover, there was 50 days, Pentecost, and that's when the birthday of the church arrived. The Holy Spirit poured out, and the day the church was born. So congratulations, Pentecost really is about a birthday. It's pretty exciting, yes. And I want to start with a question. Have you ever been to a party that you didn't know what the party was all about? Oh, okay, we got one. You and me. Because the first service, nobody else raised their hands. So I have attended a party that I didn't know was a party was happening or anything or who what it was for. It was at Northwest University, dorms, right? And so I go over to a friend's room, and I'm thinking we're going to hang out and play some video games. And I walk in, and his dorm room is completely filled with people. And it's not a very big dorm room, but it's packed with people. There's balloons, there's streamers, there's cake. Everybody's excited. And I didn't know anybody. I was looking for my friend. He wasn't even there. I think it was his roommate's party. And they are throwing a party. And so I walk in. Now, you have to know me. I'm an extrovert. I enjoy people. And so I don't think any party should be wasted. So I walked in. And I just started talking to people, and at first they were like, "Hey, who are you?" And I was, one of them, I was like, "Well, who are you? You know, are you supposed to be here?" You know, and they're like, "Well, that's my cousin." And so I start talking, and I have no idea who it is, and I different people. So they're like, "Oh, I just live out in the room, you know, just want to see my friend." And so we start talking. Next thing I know, I'm helping lead the birthday song by the end of the party, And so I just had a great time. But it's just funny that I didn't know a party was happening until I got to know the person who was having a birthday. It was actually their birthday. I didn't know that there was a party. And I think a lot of Christians don't know today's a party. A lot of people don't have, especially Christians, they have no idea why we should take time and focus to understand what today really means in history and why we should celebrate it. And there's something powerful that God wants to do on today for you because it's Pentecost Sunday. And so we're going to take a moment here and we're going to dive into understanding what is Pentecost Sunday really all about. So I want to introduce to you, in the Bible, there's a guy named Luke. He was a physician, a doctor, and he wrote the Gospel of, let's see if you can guess it, Luke. And the Gospel of Luke tells a story about a man named Jesus, who was also God, who died for your sins and for mine and rose from the grave. He's our Savior, our Lord. He's the one we worship. Everything that we believe all hinges upon the resurrection. Well, after this, he writes a second book, which is called, not Luke number 2, it's called the Acts of the Apostles. And in that's what we're going to be talking about today. And in the Acts of the Apostles, he goes through and he talks about how Jesus says, stay and wait for the promised advocate, the Holy Spirit, who will come and lead and guide you into all truth. Now, I want you to get the scenery for a moment. Jesus has walked with these people for 3 years in ministry. He's helped them do lots of amazing things. They've seen people walk on water. They've seen water turn into wine. They've seen Jesus heal people. They've seen demons cast out. They've been a part of incredible, incredible ministry with Jesus. And all of a sudden, he stops everything and says, it's better that I'm gone so the Holy Spirit can be in you. And for, I think, those people listening to that audience, they would have thought, that's really hard to believe. It's hard to believe that it's better for me that Jesus is gone and the Holy Spirit would live in me. But as we're going to see in just a moment, that's exactly what we all need to have happen in our lives. Because the Holy Spirit is about to show up in a way that will transform history and the lives of everybody here that is happening. So if you have your Bibles, I would love for you to turn to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to talk about the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost. You see, it says this, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing, say blowing, of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire, say fire, that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I want to pause there. This is such an amazing part of Scripture because Luke is connecting the Old Testament with the New Testament in this story. You might be thinking, well, how does he do that? If you go back in the Old Testament, Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt into freedom, and they were led by the presence of God. And let's see if we remember this. There was a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. Now, how many pillars were there? Okay, just making sure we're good, all right? There was one. So there was fire in the night, and then the wind that was blowing a cloud by day. Now, I want you to connect the dots. What happened in the New Testament? They're in the room. They're waiting. They're doing what Jesus told them to do. They're waiting for him. And suddenly, what happens first? A wind happens. It shakes. And then fire shows up. Do you see the connection? You see, we have a problem with a lot of what's happening in the church, and I'm talking about the big church, is that there is a group of people trying to say, don't worry about the Old Testament. You don't have to focus on any of that because it doesn't really matter for what's happening to you. And I want you to understand that there's nothing further from the truth. When you know what happened in the past, you can connect the dots that the same God who was with Moses is the same God who's with me. The same God who set some people free can set me free. The same God who led them out of bondage, he is leading us out of bondage into freedom. And if you don't know what God did, you will miss what God's doing. It's all meant to be connected so that you and I will have a deeper relationship with God. You see, imagine Mayel and I, we've been married 16 years. We've gone through a lot together, some super high highs, and you've heard her story. If you missed Mother's Day last week, didn't she do amazing with that message, by the way? So good last week, Mayel. But some super high highs, and we've had some super low lows. But if we woke up tomorrow and someone had erased all of our memories from today all the way back, and we woke up and looked at each other, what would happen? She'd be like, who are you? What is happening? Am I right? That's the problem when people try and get rid of what happened in the Old Testament. They have no context. They have no ability to say, okay, this is what God did. Now he's doing a new thing, but I can see that there are things that are connecting what God did and what God is doing. Even think about Moses. When he's on the mountain and God gives the Ten Commandments, what happened when the Spirit of God fell to the mountain? Do you remember? There was a violent earthquake, there was wind, and there was fire. God moves with wind and with fire. The Hebrew word for wind is ruach, which means the breath or the wind of God. What people don't understand is the Holy Spirit has been moving throughout history. Even when God creation, it says the Spirit of God hovers over the waters. And the lie and the ploy of the enemy is to get you to forget what God has done so that you have no power for today. But my job this morning is to remind you that the same God who moved in power back then wants to move in power in your life today. Do not forget to connect the dots because you and I need power. Anybody else need some power? The big idea this morning is the power you need is found in the Holy Spirit. A lot of people are looking for things to strengthen them, empower them. But I want to just tell you right now, the most empowering person you can have in your life is the moving and work of the Holy Spirit on a daily life in your life. The reason we need power, if you go to Acts 1:8, it says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and you will be my witnesses. You and I are to be witnesses. That means that we're to have a testimony to share what God has done in our lives. And we're supposed to do that in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So it starts in Jerusalem and it keeps spreading out from there. One of the greatest testimonies that you and I can have is that you experience the presence and moving and power of God here in church in the body, and catch this, and when you go home. Your house, your life is a living testimony of the presence and power of God. That's why we say you should never do things alone. You should always try to be in family, to be in relationship, because think about it. When God poured his Spirit out, what were they doing? They were in a prayer meeting in an upper room just praying. And I want to give you a little sneak peek. Anybody like a sneak peek? Okay. Like in the next week, okay? We're launching Thrive Groups, which are we're going to ask you to meet in groups with different people just one time a month, starting in June, July, and August, because this, I believe that God's doing a new thing. We are having so many new people. You know, we're averaging like 40 new people a month that are coming to PCC. But do you know that they need to get connected into family? Some of us here have been here a long time, but we have over 20 new people that are starting Thrive Groups for people to get connected to. And maybe you're here, you can host a group, or maybe you don't, you're not here, you're like brand new, you want to get in a group. If you go out there after service, not right now, stay here, okay? After service, in the fellowship area over there, there's a big sign, big table that says Thrive Groups. Sign up for a group, and we're just asking you to connect one time a month. Why? Because if the enemy can get you isolated, he can get you powerless. But if we can come together, we're powerful. We need each other. We need the encouragement of each other. We need the prayer of a righteous person availeth much. We need believers together connecting and encouraging one another. So the back to the story, they're praying. They're together. The Holy Spirit's moving. He's done something amazing. Now, this context gets even better. Check this out. In verse 5, it says, Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. So again, just so you understand, this is the Day of Pentecost was an Old Testament festival that was a celebration of they called it the Festival of Weeks, but really it's about harvest. It's the early harvest, and then there was a later harvest in the fall. And it was an opportunity, which is so cool. I love the way God works. They would come and they would celebrate the first harvest, which is God's provision. They weren't allowed to work. They weren't allowed to serve. They were supposed to have a party and eat. Anybody else down for that? So they had to prepare the food, and they would sit, and they would eat, and they would celebrate. Now, as time went on, all of the people spread out that were Jews, they had to come back to Jerusalem to celebrate this. That's why there are people from all, it says every nation under heaven. It's this huge pilgrimage, and all of these Jews that fear God are coming back to thank him for his provision, and they're swarming Jerusalem. That's why the population is completely filled with all these people celebrating God's faithfulness and his provision. Now watch what happens. They're up in this upper room. They're praying. The Holy Spirit hits. And when they heard the sound of a crowd, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents from Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. So, I don't know about you, but if you've been around a drunk person, I don't think they start speaking other languages that are coherently. They're usually saying things that aren't coherent. But they're speaking in other languages, and they're connecting it. But for some reason, they're wild enough, they're crazy enough, they're thinking that they're drunk. Now, I want to connect the dots for you just even a little bit further. Do you remember the story of the Tower of Babel? Anybody remember the story of Tower of Babel? Okay, some of you nodding your heads. Okay. So the Tower of Babel, they were rebellious against God, so they decided to build this tower all the way to heaven because they wanted to earn their way to heaven. And God comes down, and he confuses their languages, and what happens? They divide, and they spread. And by the way, why does God confuse them? Because he says this, I must confuse them because when they're together, nothing's impossible for them. So he says, I'm going to separate their languages, and they split, and they literally go all over the world with brand new languages. Now what happens? They come from all around the world. They come back to Jerusalem. And guess what happens? It's a flip from the Tower of Babel. It's completely different. God flips the script. Then he fills this group of people with the power of the Holy Spirit. They start speaking in tongues. It's an earthly language. And all these people are hearing their native tongue be spoken. And instead of being dispersed, guess what happens? They all come back and they're like, you're speaking my language. What just happened? And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, verse 14, stands up with the 11, raised his voice and addresses the crowd. Fellow Jews, all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose, and I'll tell you exactly why. It's only 9 in the morning. Now, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit. Come on, somebody. On all people, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming and the great and glorious day of the Lord. And I love this, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Come on, somebody. That's the day of Pentecost. That's the birth of the church right there. Would you just pause with me for a moment and put your hand over your heart? I want to pray for you because I believe the Holy Spirit wants to help move the knowledge of what I just said for 18 inches to your heart, because it's one thing to know it. It's another thing to experience the move of God. So, Father, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, give us eyes to see, ears to hear. And right now, we put our hands over our hearts and we ask, Holy Spirit, touch us, transform us. We want Pentecost. We want your Spirit today. We need you. We love you. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would touch us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Peter stands up and 3,000 people get saved in one day. That's why the day of Pentecost is so important. The reason there were so many people there was because they were celebrating a festival. And I just want to remind you, sometimes when you think there's a party, and it may be evil, it may be wicked, there's lots of people doing things they shouldn't be doing, I think God's ready to flip the script. I think God's about to flip the script on Portland. I believe God's about to flip the script in our city, in our world. I think God is going to do something great. Anybody else believe with me on this one? Come on, God's going to do something big. I believe that. But if we watch this early church, I believe that the revival, though, it starts with you and me. So here's what I want. Well, I'm hoping you write this down. There's three W's. If you have notes, you can take notes. If you missed it, by the way, if you go to the YouVersion Bible app, you can look, our church is on there, and all of our notes, the fill-ins, are right there. So you can get that later if you want. But the celebration of Pentecost is for us to practice three important characteristics of the church. So this is talking about practice. So what are the three, and I'm going to call them W's. Win, win, win. Anybody else like winning? Three W's for winning. Here we go. Number one, waiting on the Holy Spirit. Jesus had given them a clear instruction. He said, go into Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I struggle to wait. I don't wait well for anything. But I want to help myself and all of us remind you that waiting on God is never wasted time. Waiting on God is never wasted time. They went to the upper room. There was a group of them. They prayed, and God met them, and tongues of fire came down, and the Holy Spirit blew through them and changed them completely. He transformed them. And the same, remember we talked about the one pillar and the one cloud? What happened to the fire? Do you remember what happened? It separated, and it went on each individual person. At that moment, the church was born. It was no longer the church as a tabernacle or a temple. Guess what it was? His Spirit lives in you. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. He's talking about you. The Spirit of God lives in you. We need his presence, don't we? We need his power. We need him to do what only he can do. We need to learn to wait on him. The problem is that we struggle to listen to instructions. Have you ever been on a cell phone call with somebody and they're talking to you, they're like, blah, 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 and then you talk and you're giving them all of the download and then all of a sudden there's silence on the other end and you get disconnected? We ever had that happen? When you call back, what do you usually say? Hey, what was the last thing you heard? Jesus disappeared, and the last thing they heard was, stay in Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. So that's what they did. They're waiting for the day of Pentecost. They're waiting. And he shows up. He fills them with power, and they're never, ever the same. I believe at Portland Christian Center, our heart is to wait on the Holy Spirit, be filled with him, so that the world will be transformed, because we need to see transformation. We need to see a move of God in our land. Amen? So the W is waiting. I want to tell you a story about a group of people that they were in Texas, and their hearts were absolutely broken because they were part of a small church, and they began to see the public schools in their county, in their area, completely go down. Crime went up. Drugs went up. Abuse went up. Everything started going up, and it all started when the Bible was taken out of public schools. And they began to see the slide in their culture, and they thought, what are we going to do? And so what they did is they got together. This is in 1990. And they all got together in a little basement of their youth pastor's house, just a small handful of these teenagers, and they began to pray. They began to call on God. And the Holy Spirit spoke to them in the middle of a prayer meeting in a basement in Texas and said, start something called See You at the Pole. And as they prayed for it, God spoke to them. And that fall, they launched the very first See You at the Pole. And 45,000 teenagers attended the very first See You at the Pole all over 1,200 different schools. Isn't that amazing? Fast forward, last fall, there was over 1 million students who went to See You at the Pole. And I want to encourage somebody, revival, transformation, what our country really needs is the people of God to start waiting on God again, to start praying and asking Holy Spirit, do what only you can do, because when you wait on the Holy Spirit, here's what's going to happen. Number two, you're going to witness the power of the Spirit to transform you first. He's going to transform you and me. You see, when we look at this story, we see Peter, and what does he do? He was the man that denied Jesus 3 times. He was the man that chopped off a dude's ear. He was the man that would jump and then look. He was the one that kept saying what you shouldn't be saying. He kept messing things up over and over and over. But he waited on the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him, touched him, transformed him. And he stood up and preached a sermon that changed history. The birth of the church. And he explained it to everyone. How? By waiting on the Holy Spirit. When you wait on the Holy Spirit, I'm the one that changes first. I just want to encourage somebody today, if you're listening to this message and saying, man, I wish this person would hear it, that's for them. They need to change. Maybe ask the Lord, should I change first? Maybe it's really this. Maybe I'm the one that needs a softer heart. Maybe I'm the one that needs to pray more. You see, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to not just be a part of your Sunday gatherings, not just at your house, but I think he wants to transform you even where you work. We have a friend of ours, his name's Phil. He was at Northwest University. He's one of the leaders there. And he had a few brothers, and one of his brothers was a businessman, and he got touched by God at a very young age, but he was very successful. He was a consultant, and companies would fly him all over the world to consult with them. And when he was 17 years old, he had an encounter with God, and God spoke to him to give him 10 minutes of his day every day, just 10 minutes of waiting on him. So he started doing this 10-minute thing, and it turned into 9 a.m. he would do 10 minutes, noon he would do 10 minutes, and then at dinner he would do 10 minutes, and it would just be him and the Bible, just him and the Lord having fellowship, just talking and praying. And God blessed him and changed his life. Well, he's in this meeting with a boardroom, and they're about to make a decision. That's one of the biggest decisions this company has ever made. It would impact the trajectory of everything they were going to do, which side they weren't sure. They're trying to make this decision, and it's in a different time zone. And right in the middle, as they're about to talk about the decision they should make, his phone alarm goes off. And he looks down and it says, time with God. So he silences it and he says, excuse me, guys, I'm so sorry, but I didn't adjust my time. And at this point when the story, I'm thinking he's just going to say, oh, excuse me, I'll get time with God later. He stops the meeting in front of everybody and says, I need to go spend time with God. Let's take a little bit of a break. And everyone's stunned looking at him. So he gets up and he walks to the other side of the room with his Bible in his hand and for 10 minutes reads his Bible and worships God. Right in the middle of the meeting. He comes back. Some of the guys get break and they go to the bathroom. They come back. They sit down and the Holy Spirit drops an idea that changed the entire meeting and was the right decision for that company. As he's walking out, a man approaches him at the door and says, I can't believe that you did that. And he was like, oh my gosh, you know, like they're going to like get after him for, you know, serving God, all those types of things. And he says, before I showed up here, I was ready to give up on everything. And I said, God, you got one more chance. I need to see a believer. I need to see a Christian really live out their faith in front of me without denial. And he said, when you did that, and all of a sudden streams of tears just started flowing down his eyes. He said, I knew God was real. You see, we don't just want the Holy Spirit for us here at church in our homes, but everywhere you go, you and I are to be a light to the world. You and I are to be filled with the presence of God. And my question for you is, do you have a space in your life to give God 10? Are you giving God 10? Can you give God 10? What's stopping you from giving God just 10 minutes of your life? Because when you transform and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, number three, the third W is, well, you'll be watching the power of God impact the world. If I could have the worship team come up, I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to change you so that you can be filled with Him in power to impact the world. When I was a little boy, I think I was about 6 or 7, maybe a little bit older, somewhere in that age. My dad decided to start a prayer meeting on Saturday nights, and he called it 7:14 prayer meeting. Isn't that a weird time? 7:14. And I remember the deal was that my brother and I had to go, and I remember the first couple of ones. It was the family of four, my brother, my dad, my mom, and I. We would go, and there would maybe be one or two other people there. And it was the sanctuary, Phil, nobody there but just us, and we'd go and we'd kneel and we'd pray. And my mom had one rule for me. She would say, you'd have to pray for at least 15 minutes, and then you can go play on the basketball court. So she would hand my brother and I, we'd each get a watch, and I remember going to the altar, putting the watch on the altar, and I would just pray that God would move the time faster. That was the miracle I was believing for. So I watched the watch and I'm just staring at it. And I remember going just week after week after week, and it just took a long time of waiting on God. And I remember years went by and we did this and nothing really happened in our church. But one Sunday, a boy came down. He was a teenager at that time. His name was Josh. And he came and the Holy Spirit hit him and he got saved. He asked the Lord to forgive him. He prayed the prayer. He got baptized. And he just said, I had no idea what was happening. Someone invited me. I hadn't been coming to church. No idea. But I felt something drawing me to come to God. So he showed up. He got saved. And I remember him staying there. And then they asked him, you know, how can we pray for you? And he said, I want my family to know God too. So we began praying for him. And so the next week came back and he said, I want to pray for my dad to get saved. So we started praying for his dad. So Josh is about like 5'6", a little guy. And in walks one a few Sundays later, his dad, who's 6'7". He has what I call a skullet, which means he's bald on top and a ponytail out the back. Huge man. Discover that it was a stepdad, not his real dad. I'm like, okay, but it looked like that movie Twins with Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger. They're walking into church together, right? So the first couple of Sundays, he's just standing there like this, frozen. But Josh kept praying. We kept praying. We kept waiting on God. And then one Sunday, he came forward. Big old guy. We lay our hands on him. We start praying for him. And this is somebody that's no idea about God, no idea about anything. He just all of a sudden goes down. Just boom. Like the Holy Spirit just hit him. So we start praying for him, and he gets up, and no joke, he goes, "What was that?" And we're like, "The presence of God, man." So we start praying for him, and he gets saved. He gets baptized. And we're just like, "This is amazing." And then Josh says, "We got to start praying." And then he interrupts me. He says, "For Jules." We're like, "Jules? About money?" And he goes, "No, that's my wife. Jules. We need her to get saved." So we start praying for her on Saturday nights again, 7:14 prayer meeting. Which, by the way, you know what 7:14 stands for? 2 Chronicles 7:14. "If my people, Portland Christian Center, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin." Come on, "and I will heal Portland. I will heal the United States. I will heal the world. I will heal their land." Come on, somebody. That's what we need. We need revival. So we start praying for Jules. And then one day she starts coming. She's up here, and she gets saved. Then Josh, Jules, Dan, they look at us, and they say, "We need our..." Josh's like, "I need my two sisters to get saved too." And then Jules is like, "I don't know, that's going to take a lot of prayer for those two." Come on, anybody got some friends like that? Like, "I don't know if God can reach them." Sure enough, God reaches those two girls too. And I'm still friends with one of them on Facebook, and I just saw the other day, she still loves God. All these years, did it take an amazing production and an eloquent sermon? No, 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 no. You know what it takes? A group of people to say, "I'm going to wait on God." It's the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit's here, and he's the one that transforms me. He's the one that transformed the world. He's the one that we need. My question for you is, when was the last time you waited on God? Would you stand with me, church? I want to give you an opportunity to wait on the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're brand new and you're not new, you're new to this, or maybe you've seen this for years and years and years, but there's this moment in time where I just believe that if you are hungry for God, if you want more of him, if you want a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit, I want to encourage you, wait on him. Just wait on him. What does that look like? It means praying. It means moving to a new place. I think one of the best things that we can do is change our posture. It's from "I know everything" to "I need the Holy Spirit." And what we're going to do in the first service, it was amazing. People came forward and God was absolutely transforming people. And I believe there's more in the second. If you're here this morning and you're hungry and you need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit, and I even talked to somebody in the first service, they're back to the second because they wanted more. They didn't have to be, but they want more. If you're here, yeah, she's right there. We found out who it was. There she is. And I want to say this very carefully, but this is not about hype. This is not about performance. This is about presence. This is about the presence and the power of God. If you want more of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday, I believe this is the day. If you wouldn't mind, don't wait any longer. Go ahead and come on forward. This is kind of our gym altar, and we're believing for more for you. If you want more of the Holy Spirit, I would just encourage you, come down. He wants to touch you. He wants to fill you fresh today. There's more for you. There's more for you. And I understand if you can't get out of your seat, that's okay. Just raise your hand. I want to pray for you too. But I'm just saying, if you're hungry, if you're able, if you want more of God, come up front and wait on him and watch what God will do. I want to pray for you. I want our pastor to pray for you. There is freedom. There is power in the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. There's power in the Holy Spirit. We need his presence. In just a moment like this, God can change anything. He can transform any family, any story. If your heart is broken, come to Him, all who are weary, and He will give you rest. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that You would come, fill us fresh today. May we respond. May we give You the next few minutes of our undivided attention. May we put away our phones, our agendas, our appetites for food, and may we be hungry for You, Holy Spirit. We want more of Your presence. Come on, church, let's turn this into a prayer meeting. Let's just start calling on God. He's with You. Let's make room. Thank You, Jesus. Sing it out. Come on, church.
Just do whatever You want.
Hello, my name is Pastor John, and I'm the online campus pastor here at Portland Christian Center. I wanted to first of all thank you for listening to this message, and our prayer is that what you heard today has inspired something within you on your journey to discover more of who God is. I do want to give one more opportunity to accept Christ, so if you're listening today and want to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, then please pray this with me. Lord Jesus, for too long I've kept You out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear You knocking. By faith, I gratefully receive Your gift of salvation. I am ready to trust You as my Lord and Savior. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe You are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. Thank You for bearing my sins and giving me the gift of eternal life. I believe Your words are true. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior. Amen. If you prayed that prayer to accept Christ, congratulations. We at Portland Christian Center call that decision your best yes, and we are here to help you walk forward in your faith journey. So whether you receive Christ today or are curious more about Portland Christian Center and what's happening here, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. That's pcctoday.com.